eating. Joseph forgave his brothers. He invited the brothers who conspired to kill him, but instead, you know, sold him as a slave, to come and live with him. He told them to bring their father. They'd be able to thrive during the time of famine in Egypt. Joseph told them that their actions were part of God's plan to save them. Yeah, it's easy to look in reverse and to see how one path led to another, then another, and how everything worked together to bring a person, a family, or an organization to the place they are now. But who's to say it would have to happen that way? Did Joseph need to be sold as a slave for the brothers to be saved years later? What if the brothers had never conspired? What if they'd gotten along and Joseph still dreamed about a famine? What if Jacob never gave Joseph that coat and made the other brothers exceedingly jealous? What if any of the parts of the story in the life of Joseph had been different? Would the brothers have survived? I don't know. And nobody knows. We have no idea how different or same the things might have been if parts of our story have been changed. Although it is wise to study history. It's wise to learn from our mistakes that we've made throughout history so that we don't repeat them. So why, oh why, oh why do we repeat them? Over and over, repeatedly. White supremacy marches. I don't care how you dress it up or what you call it. White supremacy marches. Unite the white. It's evil. It's wrong. And if your religion has convinced you that a bunch of white males are somehow the victims of racial discrimination, there is something wrong with your religion. Completely wrong. Jesus was about welcoming the stranger. Jesus, a dark-skinned male from the Middle East, he was about loving all, not about racism or war or hate. Also, when it comes to reading the Bible and understanding the stories, I'm not one to look at the history here and say it had to happen that way, otherwise it couldn't have happened. Because when we look at the events and determine if this hadn't happened, then of course that would not have happened, and that could have never happened, and then ultimately the wonderful thing could not have happened, we decide that there's only one way to get from point A to point B. And if there's only one way to get from point A to point B, then we also open ourselves to the other side of that idea. If only I hadn't done this, then this would not have happened. And this wouldn't have happened, and this awful thing wouldn't have happened. Of course, our actions matter. Yes, they matter. Our decisions matter. They affect not only us, but also people and things around us. They affect things locally. They affect things globally. But we're not the only ones. Ours is not the only church. This is not the only community. We're not in the only state. This is not the only nation. We all act and decide. And today's reading isn't about how every decision we make is life-altering. It isn't really even about all things working together for good. It is about reconciliation. The brothers hated Joseph. Joseph had a hard life and had every reason to hate them back. But instead he reached out to them. He wept with them. He talked with them. And they were reconciled. So whether you're moving forward or in reverse or standing still, embrace that continuing journey. And also a good piece of advice, be kind through it. As you know, God isn't putting secret codes and books and so that only the ones with the secret knowledge can figure out how things are going to go in our world from this point forward. And God isn't about us having to study the Bible so that we can see how everything that happened had to happen that way. And God definitely isn't saying that a person's skin color, culture, orientation, gender, religion makes them any better or any worse than anyone else. I do know that code and prediction stuff, it might be entertaining in a book or a movie. not really that important, though, and still not what's central to the story. Remember what's important to this story. Reconciliation. But not just that. There's love, and there's justice, and forgiveness, and peace, and comforting those who mourn, and compassion, and mercy, and generosity, and caring for all, and healing, and yes, reconciliation. And reconciliation is the farthest thing from our minds far too often. Probably today. Charlottesville. Ferguson. North Korea, Gaza, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, the list could go on and on and on. We're interested in finding a common enemy, demonizing that enemy, fighting against that enemy, punishing that enemy, annihilating that enemy. And where does that end up? Violence, enemies, continued violence and hate, and it gets worse from there, and we can do so much better. We have to do better. How do we do that? How do we do that this week? How do we do that any week? Listen to the words from the pastoral letter from leaders in the United Church of Christ. I echo these words. We must be true solidarity partners with those who march in the streets. We must move from the sanctuary and walk alongside other clergy and community leaders who seek to resist, agitate, inform, and comfort. We must resist hatred and violence. We must also agitate ourselves and our neighbors to acknowledge any racism within us or among us. And we must inform ourselves, our neighbors, what our sacred stories reveal to us. Just world for all. We must lament and grieve with those who are injured or murdered during violent confrontations and those who mean us harm. And we must comfort those who have been discriminated against with the transformative love of God. So as we go forward, as we come to a time of visioning that's happening in just a few weeks and for the next several months, as we seek to continue to be the church, we have to model the legacy of activism through our sacred call given to us by our UCC ancestors. We got to look back to our history, yes. May we be prophetic truth tellers like our congregational Christian forebears. They marched in the public squares demanding equality for all. Also, more closely related to our history, may we serve others and remain faithful witnesses like our evangelical and reformed forebears. Attended to the needs of the forgotten. What can we do? We do what we do as followers of Christ. What we know we're supposed to do, show up, donate, pray, be the church. Be bold. Amen.